Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our great Comforter. Amen. The text for our time in God's Word this morning is going to come from that Romans 13 passage that we read. St. Paul talks about submitting to the governing authorities. And I want to point out as we get into this look at God's Word and what He has said and how He's revealed things to us, if we go back to chapter 12, which we talked about last week, it really sets up the framework that St. Paul is working in as he begins in chapter 13. I think it's going to become clearer and clearer why I'm pointing that out as we move forward this morning. And here's why. If I started off the message this morning and simply said, submit to governing authorities, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm not much of a betting man, but I think between the people here and between the people on Zoom and maybe even Facebook Live, if we got that working, did we do it? We got the thumbs up from Matt. We're on Facebook Live, everybody. Good. I bet between everybody watching today, if all I said was submit to the governing authorities, there might be a little discussion that ensues after that. Got some head nods now. Good. Not as many as I thought. I really thought there'd be some chuckles or tension with that. But whatever, good. Let's move forward. And so I bring that up because I don't believe for a second that St. Paul is simply saying, whatever someone in a position of authority tells you to do, do it. I don't think he's giving away, and take note of that, giving away any authority. Because if you go back to chapter 12, he has finished kind of this point-by-point basics of the Christian faith. And do you remember the key word he said in Romans 12? We talked about it a little bit last week, quite a bit. Therefore. So all this stuff afterward is coming in to be important. And he said, therefore, in view of God's, do you remember? Mercy. In view of God's mercy. And then he talks about our spiritual acts of worship. And he talks about our life in Christ. He talks about the things that we do in honor of God to love our neighbor. And chapter 13 falls under that same therefore. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, eyes on God. Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In view of God's mercy, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. This day and age, that sentence can put people on edge. I say this day and age. I don't think we're facing anything new as far as people in positions of authority that are maybe less than godly, that are maybe abusing parts of that power. I don't think we're facing anything new. And that's a statement that is nonpartisan. I don't care what party you pledge allegiance to. I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. That problem is nothing new. But tensions are high today. Pressure is high today. The stakes are high today, and even if that's nothing new, that's where we are. Also nothing new is this theme in Scripture saying, respect those in positions of authority. Fourth commandment should pop into mind for people. Honor your father and your mother. It's submit, surrender. The other side of that, St. Paul talks in Ephesians, and specifically fathers, as if he knew who he was talking to, do not exasperate your children. And so there's a submit to this authority, and to the authority, don't abuse your power. Don't exhaust or exasperate those underneath you. While we're picking contentious topics. How about Ephesians 5 when St. Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. Don't throw anything. But again, submit, surrender, but wives, don't forget the type of husband you're supposed to have. St. Paul goes on to say, husbands, you ought to be willing to die for your wives. And if that's the case, if a woman marries a man who is willing to die for her and lives his life like that, like she is worth dying for, like she is worth protecting, like she is the best thing that's ever happened to him, well, who wouldn't want to submit to that? And in that same chapter, St. Paul uses that same word, submit, and what does he say? Submit to everyone out of reverence for Christ. So let's not get bent out of shape about submitting to the governing authorities. Let's not get bent out of shape about submitting to fathers and mothers, to husbands, wives, you name it. The bottom line is, the message from Scripture is, surrender. Submit. And nobody likes to do that. Nobody wants to give up what? Their authority. Nobody wants to give up their position of power. Again, we're going to keep talking about this. Who we are supposed to submit to just happens to be the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of our faith. St. Paul isn't talking about giving away authority because it's God's authority. We're under Him, under His rule, under His reign, under His power, and also under His grace, His mercy. In view of God's mercy, we see our place. And the bottom line is, He's God and we are not. And thanks be to God. Because He is a God of grace and compassion. He is a God who demonstrates His mercy in full swing with Jesus on the cross paying the price for your sins and for mine. In view of God's mercy, who raised Jesus Christ up from the dead so that we live our lives in the freedom of the gospel, serving God and God alone, and the pieces that He's put in place to govern people. It's all under God's authority. Even if people abuse those positions and don't do it right, God is ultimately in control. We'll talk further about what is our response. How do we respond when the ones that we're supposed to submit and surrender to are not living up to their salt? But to get at it, go ahead and raise your hands. I don't think anybody's going to be embarrassed by this one. Raise your hand if you love it when people tell you what to do. We got one brave soul. God bless you, Frida. So nobody else likes it when you're told what to do. Now let's go to the other question. Raise your hand if you like to tell other people what to do. Now we're sitting at a little bit more of a majority. The rest of you will talk later. So what does that teach us? It is humorous, but what does that teach us? Everybody likes to be in positions of authority, and nobody likes to be under them. So we've got one half of the room telling the other half what to do, and nobody's listening to anybody. And that's the danger. What is that a result of? We don't like to give up our power. And the good news for us, if I can call it that, is God doesn't either. He is not relinquishing His control. He is not surrendering His will for you. His simple, good, and gracious will that you would look to the Son and be saved, that you would trust in Him. That's God's will, and that's the power He is not and will not relinquish. God is the authority. if we were to keep reading, reread 13, Romans 13, St. Paul says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that God that exist have been established by God. And so to the question, when we are submitting and surrendering to people in positions of power that are not making godly decisions, that are not doing what's right for the people, whoever and whenever and whatever that is, there's a temptation not to listen, to stand up, to make your voice heard, to speak for those who are being put down, for those who are being held back, for the oppressed, for those treated unfairly. The government may try to rule, the government may try to keep order, but isn't it the church who's supposed to be the ones to look over the widowed and the orphan and the lost? We don't have to relinquish that. Some will say in times of crisis, like what we're facing, the tension that we're facing, the unrest that we're facing, inevitably some will cry out like Peter did in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. And now while that sounds like a great segue into civil unrest or government overthrow, that's not what's being talked about here. It's simply a confession. God is in charge. God is our authority. And let's not forget who wrote these words of Romans 13. It was St. Paul sitting in a Roman prison in the time of Christian persecution. The government was ordering Christians killed because of their faith. So St. Paul knew a little bit about what he was talking about and said it anyway. And so we say with him, with Peter rather, we must obey God rather than men. God is the authority. Amen? Not we're done, but just do you agree? Amen? Amen. So now let me tell you the story. I've heard this story before, and I'm sure there's different versions of it. I'm not trying to plagiarize anything, but this is one of those I don't know who said it first sort of thing. But this is not firsthand experience, although it kind of is. Here we go. The story is told of a man who was late by about 20 minutes, and so he was trying to make up for his tardiness, like every red-blooded American does, by going about 25 miles over the speed limit. Racing and ripping and roaring through traffic, not a police officer in sight, thank you, Lord. And as he thanks the Lord, he thoughts, oh no, I'm going 25 miles over the speed limit. Do you know what he was thinking? And I've got a Jesus fish on my bumper sticker, a Christian bumper sticker that talks about the love of Jesus. What if everybody sees? They're going to see this maniac driving down the road 25 miles over the speed limit and then an advertisement for Jesus. That's not good. That is not a good witness. I need to do something about this. And so he pulled over. And he thought for a second, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this situation? And he opened his eyes, and he got out of the car, and he took the bumper sticker off, and then he got back in his car and went on down the road. Can you relate to that? I can, and I bet you can. It's a humorous story, but it fits. In one moment, we can say, God is the authority. God is in charge of me. I have surrendered to God for the sake of Jesus who died on the cross. Just as he surrendered his life, I surrender mine to his. God is the authority until it's not. Until we're late. Until we're irresponsible. Until we want something that God says you can't have. until we want to do something that God says you can't do. Until we don't want to do something that God says you sure better be doing it. And then forget, surrender, submit to the governing authorities. We can't even submit and surrender to our God, the creator and author of our faith. And as funny as that story is, what other areas of in our life, instead of confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness and moving forward in the joy of the Lord, how often do we tear off that bumper sticker? I didn't even get started on the stories where my brothers in Christ, brothers of the cloth, are driving down the road and quick take the collar out of their shirt while they're driving through traffic. Don't even get me started on that. But how often do we do that? How often do we hide our faith when we need to? How often do we hide our faith when it comes to getting what we want, when we want it, how we want it? And I'm not going to let those Christians tell me how to live my life. And I'm not going to let whoever tell me how to live my life. Well, it's not whoever that we're talking about. It's capital W, whoever. We have the same unrest with that statement, you must submit to God and to His authority. And so what do we do? If we were to keep reading in Matthew 18, and if when you get home, if you don't have your Bibles with you, read the parable of the unmerciful servant. It starts in verse 21 of Matthew 18. And at home, do the same thing. But the short version is this. Jesus tells a parable of a servant who had a great debt to a master. And the master was coming to collect his debt, and he was going to receive it, but the servant had no way of paying off the debt. Huge debt. And he begged for his life. He pleaded for mercy from the master, and the master granted it to him. Now, if we just take the story that far, what is next for the servant? Put yourself in his place. If your debt has been removed, canceled, you're free. No longer under that shadow, no longer under those shackles. What would you do? You've got no burden. You've got no debt. The world is yours. To share that joy, to keep it rolling, to live your life in gratitude, thankful for what that master has done. But in this parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 18, the servant goes out and remembers one of his servants had a debt. Small, minuscule, a fraction not mentioning of what that first servant had owed. And so he goes to collect the debt, and the second servant says he can't pay it. Please have mercy. Please, let's come up with a different solution. And the master says no and chokes him and has him thrown in prison. That is us when we fail to surrender to the love of God that He's given us in Jesus. When we would rather not surrender to His command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or to love your neighbor as ourselves. When St. Paul gets to those commands, we're lost. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, whatever other commandment there may be, they're summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself, and we fail. We don't honor those in positions of authority. We don't look after the poor, the weak, and the oppressed as perhaps we should. And so what do? We turn to the one who did. We turn to the one who does. Jesus. Jesus is the one who saw us with an insurmountable debt. We were like the one sheep that we read about in Matthew 18 that wandered off. We ran off as hard as we could in our sin, in our own determination. And Jesus came into the world and sought us out. And here and now, as we sit convicted, all we have to do is say, Lord, have mercy. For the sake of Jesus, forgive me. And he does. As we talked last week, in view of God's mercy then, Christ empowers us to live a new life. One that joyfully surrenders to God. One that joyfully goes over to the winning side. That's the victory God gives us. He raises us up. He gives us new life. He gives us new hope. Jesus paid that debt of sin in full. And we are free. Free to live as God has instructed us to live. Free to give of ourselves as He has given to us. Jesus Christ is that fulfillment of God's law that St. Paul talks about in verse 10. He says, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's just substitute that word love for a second. Jesus does no harm to his neighbor. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus frees us from those bounds, from those chains. And he's handed us the spoils of the victory. Forgiveness, salvation, life. So how do we proceed with that life? We live daily under the power of God's authority, God's power, God's grace. And love does no harm. Love does no harm. That might be our guide in this day and age. How do we respond when leadership does something that's wrong? Love does no harm. There are ways to stand up for what's right. There are rallies to organize. There are protests to go to. There are votes to be cast. There are statistics to learn. There are people to talk to. There are conversations to be had. Love does no harm. In the face of injustice, hatred, racism, fear, what are we to do? Where are we to go? How are we supposed to fix it? We stand with Jesus. We confess His rescue. We confess His compassion. And we as the church ought to be doing the same. Looking out for those who are oppressed. Looking out for those who are kept back. Looking out for those who are voiceless and defenseless and helpless. There's no law against that. Jesus says, do it. And we've got a laundry list of examples in the Bible. Esther. Queen Esther, facing persecution of her people, she got to the king and changed his mind and made it right for Israel. Ruth got to Boaz and looked after her widowed mother-in-law. Nathan got to David, King David, who abused his power, had Uriah killed so he could marry Bathsheba. Nathan got to David. David confessed and changed his way. All illustrations and evidence of God's power and grace. And what's more for us, for you and me today, we recall as an illustration, Jesus got to the Samaritans. That people that you weren't supposed to talk to, Jesus got to them. The Canaanites, that people you weren't supposed to talk to, Jesus got to them. And he has called the church to do the same. Our allegiance is to Christ and his word. We submit to the authority of God and to what he has put in place. We do not submit to a party. We do not submit to an issue. We do not submit to an agenda. We surrender to God. In Christ alone, On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. In Christ, the solid rock, we stand. The church. That cannot be taken away. That cannot be usurped. It cannot be shaken. And so we stand firm on Christ, the solid rock. And we keep our eyes open, first and foremost, on He who died for us. And we keep our eyes open for opportunities to defend the weak, to preach good news to the poor and the weak and the oppressed, to be the hands and eyes and feet of Christ on earth. Love does no harm. The love of God does no harm. The love of God through His people in Christ does no harm. God grant us to live it out by His mercy, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.